I initially started this thinking about people who are down in the dumps and going through a really difficult time in their lives. And I would want them to know that it's like climbing a mountain. You will get out of it. You have to take the steps forward. I hope that someone believes in you. Maybe that's me today telling you, like, you're gonna be okay, that there is nothing that you can't overcome.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015, so stay tuned for more from them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. All right, here we go. Thanks for being here today, wherever you are listening or watching from. I am here with Carla Amador, who is the founder of a movement called the 52 Hike Challenge, which is one of those cool stories that started as an idea for Carla to personally get outside more and has turned into a whole thing. So we're going to learn all about Carla and how her story led her to starting this movement. And also, fun fact for you all out there, Carla and I were both Oboe's footwear ambassadors for years while they were running that program. So Carla, it's so great to be with you in person here with you today. I mean, virtually. And thank you for giving us your time and welcome to Jump Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Jackie. It's a true pleasure and honor.
Yeah. You know, I've always been interested. I mean, Oboe's kind of does a good job at saying, you know, here's who else is on the team. But everybody has a story, you know, and you've got this whole thing that you're behind. And I've been looking at your website and just kind of reading into it myself and thinking, no, like, we've got to get her on the show, because this is what I love about your story is that it starts so personally. And I'm hoping that you're going to be willing to kind of open up and share about that today. I would love to say that this is a safe space, even though there's thousands of people listening. But yeah, the real and raw and vulnerable kind of places in our lives is where we really can connect. And I know that this was kind of born out of a space like that for you. And I just thought we could have a really cool, relatable, inspiring conversation about what it is that you've built out of this amazing path that you've been walking in your life. So
thank you so much. Absolutely. I mean, I guess I'll start at the beginning. I do believe in what you're saying, which is the importance of story, history, and where we come from, how things, you know, became. So yeah, I was a really young mom. I was 17 years old when I got pregnant. And then I got married to, the father of my son. And we were really young and it was really hard. And I think at the time, like, I really hadn't done a lot of like the inner work that I've had to go through since that time. We were married for about, I want to say, 12 years. And we were kids, you know, kids trying to be parents and trying to grow up ourselves. And I think there was a lot of things we had not really processed. And, you know, so anyhow, we were going through a divorce. So this is, you know, about 12 years later. And it was a really challenging time in my life, because I think going through a divorce, being a young mom, I had a lot of shame. I had a lot of guilt. I felt, you know, I really was not proud, you know, of myself at the time. I think, you know, there was a lot of that inner dialogue about, oh, what are people going to think? And, you know, it was just a really challenging time. I think I was about 28 years old at this point. And, you know, I remember, you know, also like the circumstances behind how things ended were really challenging as well. And so I was, you know, at the time I had just launched another company with a girlfriend, and we went and we were doing this event. And the thing about it was that day I was really struggling internally, and I met this woman at this event. And it was really interesting because she just had this radiance and glow to her. And I was like in such a dark place. And she just came up and introduced herself. And she said she was a life coach. And we started talking. And, you know, she kind of asked me some really deep questions, one of which was, if you could do anything right now, what would you do? And that kind of really allowed me to like sit and visualize my life. And at this time, you know, I hadn't traveled. I hadn't really been able to do a lot because I was such a young mom just trying to raise a kid and have a marriage. And so I closed my eyes and I literally had a vision of me putting on a backpack and traveling. That was part of the vision. And then the second part was I saw myself on top of Machu Picchu looking down at that view.
Yeah.
And I felt happy. I felt free. I felt empowered, which was nothing to what I really felt at the time. So that kind of started this, I don't know, maybe it was like I tuned into this inner yearning or knowing. Because it's really funny that we're talking about this because how long has it been now? So this was in 2012 and now it's 2026. So this is 14 years later. And that vision actually came, everything came to life. Everything came to fruition. But at the time, I was in such a dark place that I couldn't envision that being a possibility, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So sure. I shared this vision with her. It was clear that the marriage was over. You know, we were going through a divorce process. And then about a year later, I ended up meeting someone who I co-founded 52 Hikes with and basically became a partner of mine that, you know, we ended up traveling and we started hiking together. And basically what happened on those, we were traveling and I just kind of came up with this idea. I said, you know, I'd like to hike once a week for a year. I didn't really think anything of it. I just knew that the few times we had hiked, I felt really good inside and it gave me hope. But I was not a hiker at the time. I rarely had any gear. It was just kind of getting outdoors. Something about being outside was starting to make me feel different inside. So basically, here we are. I'm doing these 52 hikes, and I feel like Mother Earth and being out in nature was truly helping me to heal. It was helping me to release. It was helping me to just have a different perspective on life. And I think the healing that was happening on the trails was just so, it was incredible. And so with each hike, I also feel like I was getting stronger and in a lot of ways, like emotionally stronger, mentally stronger, but I started really kind of analyzing myself. And I had been doing some internal work now at this point. I was actually working even on the 12-step program. And part of that 12-step program, they ask you to basically surrender to a greater power. And I was like, not really thinking I wanted to do that at the time. But one of these books really, really tested me, Mount San Gorgonio in Southern California. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this a try. I'm just going to do what the steps say. And I feel like I kind of had this big prayer, this kind of moment right before the summit where I was like, I'm just going to surrender. Obviously, my life hasn't been working. What do I have to lose? And I feel like that's where the seeds were planted for 52 hikes, because I would have never in a million years, if I could think about it, like looking back today, think to myself that I would have ever been, you know, running a movement that helps people to get outside, that has inspired hundreds of thousands of people, millions of moments outdoors. And it's all because, I mean, I was really in a dark, really dark place, you know? Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
So yeah, to kind of fast forward to the end of the story, when I finished the 52 hikes, of course, it was really special. But I decided that I wanted to go do Mount Whitney as graduation. And I had prepped, right? The hikes prepped me. The 52 hikes helped me to figure out the gear and to train and to push myself. So I'd start with like the little hikes and, you know, do something like Mount San Gorgonio. So when Mount Whitney came along, I just had this really crazy, intense moment where I was close to the summit and I feel like I had a walk with God, like a true walk with God. And I heard a voice say, you will never suffer the way you suffered. And I felt this release as I was almost at the top of the mountain. And it was really, really special. I think that's one of the most powerful, that's one of the most powerful moments I've ever had. And so when I finished the hike, I mean, I completed the, you know, the journey to the summit. And on the way down, I just felt like, wow, I really want to share this story with people. And I think that the outdoors is really empowering. I think that that's where you're most connected to, I call it source spirit, whatever people, I mean, there might be people that don't connect with that, the universal energy, the intelligence, but nature is a healer. And it's incredible, like what we can do when we put that effort forward and when we face ourselves. And I think nature is such a great place where we can find confidence and belief in ourselves again, you know, self-love, self-forgiveness or forgiveness of others, and you're able to process. So it was just, it was really empowering. And, you know, the next thing you know, I had launched this thing and it truly has done some incredible things. And so I'm really glad that I went through the difficult time and that that was what led me to this point and everything that we've done since then. It was that hard, challenging time that I never thought I would overcome. And to realize like, wow, when we do the hard work and when we, I guess are true to that inner voice, amazing things can happen.
Absolutely. That was so good. There's so much to unpack in everything that you just said. I was trying to write down notes because so many times like, oh yeah, A, I can relate. B, like, let's dig, you know, but I just wanted you to keep going. So, but you did mention throughout that a few things I would like to kind of go back to just because I think that it's worth, I guess, acknowledging every step of the way. And the reason I say this is because, I mean, what you said about, I never could have imagined that, you know, I would be leading this movement or whatever it is, the place that you are now, of course you couldn't see that at the beginning, because I feel like as we start these paths, we're at the bottom. Yeah. And the way to go is up. We know this. But sometimes, like, sometimes you can't even see the first rung of the ladder. I like metaphors. So I like always see this as a ladder. And you just have to kind of trust that it's there, reach out for it, figure it out. And for you, this was, I feel drawn to being outside. Okay, that's enough to go on, you know, more of that. Okay. And then so the first hike became the first rung of the ladder. And then you kind of just keep going until, and now you've climbed this huge ladder and you're on this, on the top of like this movement that's affecting all these people. And of course you couldn't see it at the beginning, because that's not the way. If like they say, you don't run a marathon, you know, you run a marathon 1 mile at a time. It's way easier to go step by step than to see the whole thing in front of you. And just, you probably would even get too scared. Like, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. Like, that's, pick somebody else, universe. That's not for me. But when you're the one living it and this is the next right step and you can just feel it, I feel like that's kind of what this path was for you, right? Just feeling attracted to the outdoors, feeling drawn and figuring it out as you went.
Yeah.
And so you started with small hikes, right? Short hikes.
Yep. I mean, it started with like a 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 mile, you know, and then of course, as I was progressing, you know, I was, you know, thankfully I had someone in my life that was helping me to know, hey, it's time that you could try this harder hike. Mm-hmm. And it just kept progressing, right? It wasn't overnight. I didn't go from never hiking to climbing Mount Whitney or Mount Kilimanjaro or doing the John Muir Trail. It's always been that progression of, hey, I want to do this thing, but I know I have to take these steps, right? And so I think that's the other thing that the 52 hikes, the thing that was so powerful for me was that it allowed me to see steps to completing that big audacious goal. It was never like, oh, I'm just going to do these 52 hikes. In fact, I was really scared that I wasn't going to be able to achieve it. But I broke it down and said, okay, if I just go on one hike a week and I do give myself 52 weeks, that's very doable. And I'll get there, right? I actually finished in 8 months or something. Because once I started getting outside and I just realized, well, it's free. It's good for my mental health. It's, you're seeing the, you know what? Actually, I just read an article that said that there is one emotion or one feeling that is even more powerful than gratitude, because gratitude is actually one of the most powerful emotions we can, you know, tune into. It said the power of awe. And I'm like, that's what nature does.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I think that was a big part of it too, is, but just seeing that, hey, if I just take these baby steps, like I'll eventually get there. And that was truly like life-changing for me, because, you know, outside of doing the 52 hikes, like I've always been entrepreneurial. I've had businesses since I was like 23 or 24 years old. And so this kind of gave me the idea that like, hey, if I set anything up for myself and I kind of look at the end goal, but then I break it down, I think it helped my brain to get a little more strategic too.
Sure. And then of course, you reached the point where you had created sort of a quest that was actionable for other people too. I mean, it's a super easy concept to break down and invite somebody else to join you. And so this is how this whole thing then became a movement, right? Tell us more about that.
So I used Instagram to like track my hikes. I would like take a photo and I'd post about it. And to me, it was kind of part of the exciting thing, was to come home and like do a little write-up and share this journey I was on. And so this was when Instagram was first starting out. And as, I mean, I'm sure you remember, like there was a big opportunity where people were, you know, using hashtags and, ooh, what is this? And just using it to discover local things. Mm-hmm. And anyhow, so we were thinking about it, and I, you know, we were like, what if other people start doing their own 52 hikes and start tagging? And, you know, so we kind of made it a part. Once we launched it, we started inviting people. And before, like within a day or two, we had 100 followers, and it was 1,000. And, you know, it just kind of blew up on its own. And once people started doing their own hikes and they would post about them, then other people, I mean, even till this day, a lot of people say, I found you through social media. Someone else tagged us, or, you know, said they were working on it and I was curious. And, you know, that's how that has kind of had a viral component to it. Although now, you know, there's been so many changes in social media and all of that, but people still use it. People are still tracking. People are still tagging. It's really cool and exciting to see, you know, people's adventures and journeys. And a lot of times people say, yeah, I posted that I was doing this challenge and someone reached out and said they wanted to hike with me. And it's created a lot of people touching other people and inspiring other people. So it becomes a part of their journey and their story. So it's just kind of been this ongoing, really beautiful effect of, you know, people just kind of helping each other through that. And so it's not just 52 now. It's like everyone gets empowered and then helps someone else.
Yeah. No, I love that. Because we are meant to be in community, you know, I mean, we're built for that. And so it's nice to, especially the people like me, I love a challenge. And I love the accountability of being part of a group, you know, while doing said challenge, or grabbing a partner and saying, let's do this thing. I love that everything that it stands for. Do you have like a mission or core values or something that you say, hey, or do you have a pledge too? Like how is it that it's structured?
Yeah. I mean, our mission is to motivate and inspire people to get outdoors once a week for a year, or 52 times within a year, in order to gain the physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional benefits derived through the outdoors. So that's our mission. It's always been what we aim to do, and we have done. And then, yeah, well, basically people come into our website and they, we have a bunch of different challenges, but we always suggest people start out with the original series, which is just 52 hikes, a mile minimum, super accessible. We did that on purpose. We want people who maybe want to use this as a way to get more physical fitness. Maybe they haven't been super outdoorsy, or maybe they haven't really done anything intense. We just want them to start walking, you know, just start getting outside in a natural environment, or people who have kids. So we really wanted to make this something that anyone could really participate in. We even at this point have an adapt stability or, an, you know, something that people who maybe are in wheelchairs could participate in. So 30 minutes out in nature, you know, works as one of your hikes. So yeah, we really tried to make it something that was kind of a low barrier entry point. And then basically when you go in, you can sign up and purchase some items to support the movement. As you can imagine, running this for over a decade now, I mean, there is a lot that people don't understand that we have to do on the back end. We have a small team. And so we also do have a free sign up. People can scroll if they're not ready. And that, so we've always, that's been a part of our core mission is we understand we want this to be accessible. And also, like, please consider that it does take a lot to offer this as a platform and service. Yeah. And so on top of that, you know, we have emails that go out every week, inspiring content, educational content. We host educational meetings for people who do decide to support us, but then we always record and share the content so people can still watch and get educated. We have tons of free resources we've built. You know, we have chapters all around the nation. You know, we have over 50 leaders across the U.S. Wow. It's just, there's a lot that we have done and, you know, and a lot that we support as well. And so, yeah, I mean, so people, yeah, sign up and then they have access to those groups, those chapters through Facebook. They, you know, depending on, you know, like I said, where they, with how they sign up, there's different resources that we've built. There's hiking logs. You know, we're working on an app right now. Hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll be out soon. It's kind of a starting point entry, but, you know, helping people to track their hikes on their phone. So it's just been like really cool over the, you know, last 10 years to see it grow and to, you know, now help a lot of people. And we've been actually for the last decade, we've been collecting stories. I have thousands and thousands of stories of how the challenge has helped people in so many different capacities and ways, from people, you know, going through losing a child and using the challenge as a way to overcome, or not, I wouldn't say overcome, but just to go through the grief, or people with cancer that have taken it as a way to heal, or, you know, just, I mean, it's been incredibly inspiring to read the stories of finishers and how the challenge has really truly changed their lives. This obviously challenges more for people who maybe aren't avid hikers. Even avid hikers say that they gain a lot of accountability from it. Like, it just helps them to stay like committed, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Cause I mean, once a week might not fit in your regular schedule until you think about it. You've got to make time for that. You've got to get outside. And so when you say chapters, does this mean that you have, are there like, 52 hikes? Or 52 hike challenge hikes every week, like in different places? Is that what you're talking about?
We do have chapters. They're online, so people can find me different, you know, friends locally. But yes, we also have chapters that lead. Usually it's once a month. That's okay. More like it. They lead a hike. We have an extremely active group in Minnesota. Shout out to Melissa. She is an amazing leader. She every month sets up a group hike. And I mean, her chapter is what, you know, I used to lead hikes before, and we would get like a lot of people to sign up and go. And it just reminds me of that. So, you know, we have groups in Virginia. We have a very active Pennsylvania chapter that hosts hikes. I mean, not every chapter hosts hikes monthly, but everyone, you know, every chapter does different things. But yeah, like Minnesota would be an example where they host a monthly hike. And they just have a very active group. She has her own Instagram page, and you know, she shares finishers. They have a finisher party, so every group is different. You know, it's not like a lot, and all of those groups are volunteer run. You know, at the end of the day, we provide certain things, like we'll provide swag and, you know, giveaways and stuff like that. We provide training to leaders. In fact, this is the first time I'm sharing this news, so you're first to know. We just started our nonprofit arm. It's called Beyond 52, and we are focused on empowering and creating outdoor leadership throughout the United States. And so we will be offering our program that we actually have tried and true leadership program will be available to all. This is a work in progress. We just recently got our 501c3 status with the IRS. We got our first grant. And so we're just kind of getting the ball rolling. But we realized, you know, let's not just stop here at 52, because 52 is not for everyone. Like, let's take this and like really start embracing movement, local community, local leadership, and also, you know, helping all colors, ethnicities to get out, you know, and to have that access that, you know, we created this program. We've seen it actually help so many people to come together in community. And we're like, why can't we help more people to get outside? So,
Wow, yeah. Congrats. That's really big news. And I can only imagine.
I have not told anyone. Like, literally, you are the first person I've pulled outside of, like, yeah, because, you know, it's just been, I just had to put my head down and get it done. And I had been thinking about it for years. But, you know, it was a scary step to take, because it's like, okay, like, it's another thing that now, you know, I'm going to be, you know, helping to create.
We'll come right back to that. But first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Let's talk about a new bag from Osprey that's getting awards and lots of hype, the Scuffle. What in the world is a scuffle? Well, if you put square and duffel together, you get Scuffle, which is exactly what this bag is, a square-shaped duffel. Now, just to be clear, when it's all zipped up, it's rectangular and easy to carry with its stowaway backpack straps. But the coolest feature about this bag is that you not only have the option of opening it via the U-zip panel access to the top, but you can also unzip all the way around the perimeter of the bag, opening it up like a clamshell, which creates a square. If you need help imagining this, go to osprey.com and check out the Scuffle. That's S-Q-U-F-F-E-L to see this magic that I'm talking about. I love the clamshell option because I am a very organized packer. And with everything in its proper packing cube, I can further organize by packing clothes on one side of the clamshell and gear and toiletries on the other. There are zip dividers to keep the contents of each side secure, and these dividers are roll-away if you prefer not to use them. I love a good versatile bag, and that's exactly what the Scuffle is. It comes in both 44 and 70 liter sizes, so you can carry it on or check it if you want. The zippers all slide super smoothly, which is important to me. It has burly webbing grab handles on every side. Its Blue Sign approved nano-tough exterior is remarkably strong and highly water resistant. So, it's absolutely worthy of being thrown into the back of a pickup truck full of hockey gear for an away tournament. And when you get to said tournament and realize the rain leaked through the shell of the back of the truck, you'll be relieved that only your hockey gear is wet, not your clothes that were packed safely and securely inside your new Scuffle. I wish I could say I wasn't speaking from experience on that one, but that is exactly why the Scuffle gets full approval from me and two thumbs up. You can find the Scuffle and all the packing cubes that fit perfectly inside it at osprey.com. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
Okay. May I ask you a question about how you
absolutely
actually do this? Because is it, I mean, you have a small team. So do you also have another job, or is this your thing? Like, have you gone full into this?
It's been full time for, I want to say, 3 years. Last year was an interesting year. Thankfully, I have been a business consultant for quite a number of years. So actually ended up, I have some clients that I help on the side. So that kind of helps. Sometimes, you know, businesses, we go through different, valleys and peaks, right? And so I think last year was a bit of an interesting year. This year still has been, it's been good, but we've also had a lot of changes. We used to have, you know, I would say a big portion would be supported by sponsors, and that has changed for us. And so for me, I think that having that other skill set and ability to offer, you know, just what I do for other entrepreneurs has been a nice way to kind of make it work where I don't work on that business full time. So it's like a lot of flexibility, but I mostly work on 52. I would say part of my time, and then I'm working on clients another part of the time. And then, you know, now with what I'm working on and kind of the way I want to develop that is, you know, it will be more volunteer-run organization. So once we set it up, you know, it'll be a lot of online trainings and such. We'll still have to be involved, but it will be pretty much more of an automated system, I would call it. So I think as an entrepreneur, that's been one of the things that has been helpful is it's not always possible, but if you can automate things and,
yeah,
you know, it kind of takes you away from always having to do everything every single day. So with our training, for example, it's in a platform where people access it. We pre-recorded it once, you know, and then, you know, they go through it and you're done. So, but I pretty much for the last 3 years had been doing 52 full time. Prior to that, I actually had another company. I sold it. That was really nice because I got to take a lot of time.
Good for you.
So for a long time, yeah. 52 was run part time. And then I did do it full time. Like I said, for the last 3 years until recently when it came up where, you know, I was able to help some people and not have that stress of like, okay, I have to constantly be looking for new sponsors. And there's a lot of pressure in working with brands and sponsors as well. I'm sure you know this. You've done it.
I can definitely relate to many things that you have just said, including the whole, I mean, it sounds kind of like this is a labor of love for you. And I know, and I can really relate to that because that's what podcasting is for me. Sponsors come in at a certain point, but I've been doing this since 2014 as well. And so it's like back in the wild west of podcasting, that wasn't a thing, you know? What I want to ask you about is what you kind of, it's like what you get out of it. And also what is your why? Because these are the things that, I mean, it sounds like you've fought a lot and you've done a lot. You've put a lot of effort in over the years, more than a decade, to this thing that you're seeing change people's lives. It changed your life. I want to know, like, what is your why? What do you always come back to that keeps you going? What do you get out of this labor of love that you have built?
You know, that's a really interesting question because it does, as you said, you know, sometimes it does get rough, right? Like there's so many different things that I think I've had to face in growing this movement, in keeping it going, in showing up every single day, even when it's hard. I'm also very blessed because there are a lot of really wonderful things it's brought to me, right? The ability to be outside and do this for work and the ability to, you know, sometimes I've had opportunities like, hey, would you like to, you know, come do this event or, you know, would you, you know, be a speaker at this? It's just really, really interesting. So I've had moments where I've thought to myself, you know, about the why is very, very simple. You know, the why is we help people and it changes their lives and it's been very meaningful. So that is a very easy for me to show up when I get, in fact, this year alone, I've received a couple of random emails. One was, wow, I opened it up and it was this woman who said, this gave me the strength to leave a relationship where I was being abused. I don't recall what kind of level of abuse. I don't remember if she wrote it in there, but I read that and I was just like, when you get that kind of confirmation, that it's just kind of like, and thankfully, I think we're at a place where we've been pretty sustainable. You know, it's sustainable. Sometimes it is stressful. Sometimes I've had to make different, difficult decisions. I've had to have sometimes team members, you know, where like they're part-time or we make adjustments. And I think that's the biggest thing is it's just pivoting and making adjustments. And based off of what's happening in the world or what's happening with kind of like the business back end, it allows me to kind of make changes based off of where things are at, right? And just being an entrepreneur yourself and running your podcast, you know, sometimes you make adjustments and that's what it is. But of course, we've been able to sustain. I think it just goes to show that we have a very valuable, it's helped a lot of people. And so, you know, going back to this concept of I'm super into, I study a lot of things, but one of them is energy. And it's like, there's a universal law that says you will be compensated according to the number of people you help, you know, just what your offering is, right? And so I think somehow that has been true here. Like, we've been able to support the mission because people really do get something very powerful out of it. And so then they're like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to support this. In fact, I know you lead trips. I lead one a year. Like, not, that's not like our core model, but like, we've got five of us already signed up, you know, and, you know, I'm exploring that as an avenue in the future. Like, maybe is that something we really kind of want to do? Do we want to do more trips? You know, I hosted a retreat last year. Do we want to do that? So I think it allows me the creativity to sometimes put different ideas out and kind of see like, what are some different models we could look at?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's been fun about, I want to call it fun. It's like, I actually get to try different things. Some things flop, some things do well. And ultimately, we've been able to create something that's been able to self-sustain over the years. And that's, I think, the most, that's like the coolest thing about it is that, like, yes, sometimes I've had to pivot. Yes, sometimes I've had to, you know, make sure that I don't put the pressure on the company. So I do other, you know, my other business. But I'm, yeah, it's like, who knows what the future holds, but for now it's been really cool to just evolve with it and not have the pressure, right? Like, I don't have the pressure of someone else being like, you have to do X, Y, and Z. That's like, I get to flow with what is happening.
Yeah. Be creative with it. And yeah, you've essentially built something that can go in any, you can take it anywhere. It's just up to your creativity and your desire. And again, going back to that first original step is, how is it that you want to feel? Where are you being drawn? You know, and you get to shape it and take it where you want to go, which is amazing. I mean, that's essentially I'm on a similar path. And so I see you in that. And I love that. I also love that you, it's such a neat example of just, I mean, I just want to congratulate you for, you know, being in your own place, in your own life, doing something, recognizing that there's an opportunity there to share this with other people and taking that leap and saying, I'm going to try this, you know, and let's see where it goes. And then bringing all these people with you, because that's essentially what you've done, you know, is you experienced a thing, you liked it, it changed your life. You guys need to try this, you know, it's like, okay, so let's build this and let's do this together. And of course you weren't going to be able to see that from the bottom of the ladder. You know, I mean, it's just a one step at a time kind of thing. And my favorite things about this 52 hike challenge is I so agree with the outdoor, the healing of nature, you know, that we all need that because we're way too connected. We've got so much that's trying to get in. And sometimes we just need to get out, you know, and get outside and let it go and turn the phone off and just be quiet. And that's why I wanted to invite you to come and share your story on the show, because I so believe in taking that first step and just getting outside, even if you don't have the packing list quite yet, you know, if you don't have it down, you don't know exactly how to start, but you're starting anyway, right? You're just starting. You're just starting with 1 mile in the shoes that you have. So I just asked you what you get out of it. What is it that you want people to know? Like, the people listening right now, what is it that you want them to know?
That's such a great question, because I initially started this thinking about people who are down in the dumps and going through a really difficult time in their lives. And I would want them to know that it's like climbing a mountain. You will get out of it. You have to take the steps forward. I hope that someone believes in you. Maybe that's me today telling you, like, you're going to be okay, that there is nothing that you can't overcome. And if you just start taking the steps forward, if you start just even, you know, it's flow, like actual moving, it gets the energy going, which helps you to get out of your head. look for supportive people. There are so many supportive people out there. There's so much that I wish I could offer, but if anything, it's just the words of encouragement of, you know, like you said, put on your shoes, start getting outside. It helps you to sometimes even get your brain changing the pattern in the brain, because it can get into the, overthinking or the monkey mind. And so walking and being out in nature, it kind of forces you to be present, which is why I believe it's a walking meditation and so powerful. And just start changing the brain pattern to help you as you're going through difficulties. And yes, in the current moment when we're going through things, sometimes things feel much bigger and more intense. But when you kind of take that bird's eye perspective, it really helps. And I think nature does that. Like I was saying earlier, you go to an overlook and you go like, wow, like my problems are not that big when I really think about them. Sometimes you just need to get out of your head and get present in your surroundings. And I do think like there is a lot to say about the power of doing your inner work, right? And to, process things and to find that support. I'm a huge believer in that. And I guess I'm especially feeling that as we were talking about, just like I said, I would have never, I just would have never thought that life could be what it is in terms of where I am emotionally today. And I have healed and I, have been able to truly take that and give people some resources and some tools. And this is another tool, right? There's so many tools in the toolbox, but nature is one of them. And like I said, she is an incredible healer. And I've been spending a lot of time. So I study with an elder here in New Mexico. She's a Native American elder, and I've had some, co-led some hikes with some local Native tribes as well. And, they're like, she has a lot of secrets. Go hug a tree when you're feeling sad.
Oh, I do that.
Take a rock, love it. Put it in your hand and put your anger in it and put it back on the soil and let her recycle that energy and take it from you. And ground, right? And so I'm studying all these things because I don't know where that's going to go in the future. But what I know is I want to help people to learn what reciprocity with land and nature means.
Yeah.
Let's return to some of these old ways that we've forgotten.
Yeah.
Because we need Earth. She doesn't need us, but also like what a beautiful thing that we are blessed to be able to walk these lands. And so to be able to pass that down as my work continues in the future, I think is really important. And like, I want to leave that legacy behind of like, not only did I give people some really cool ideas, but like I helped to reconnect us all with what it means to truly be a land caretaker,
Okay. I love so much of that. And I would like to add to that because I appreciate the idea of like learning, especially from a Native American elder. What a cool thing. Like, I wish I could do a hike like that and just like watch and observe and be present and just, but I will invite people to also recognize that you already have it within you. And so you don't need, if you don't know where to begin, if you get out on a trail, you can also be drawn to what attracts you. And if that means taking off your shoes and feeling the ground beneath your feet or touching a tree or laying in the grass or staring up at the sky for an hour, whatever it is, like you can do that. Like that's okay. I love being in the forest. And I mean, there's so many different ways that we can connect with that. And I so agree that we used to do that a lot more as a people and we have gotten very, very far away from it. But it is so beautiful to go back and reconnect and allow yourself to just open up to what the forest or the mountains or the desert, whatever your surroundings look like, what that has for you and just be there for it. Just go with an open mind and feel it out yourself. I mean, I love that what you've created is an invitation to just go and see what's there. See what's there outside, see what's there inside, what you're going to find when you hit that trail and where it's going to go. And then you've also created a place for people to say, okay, I want to do this, but maybe I don't want to do this by myself. Or I would like to know that there are other people out there doing this with me, even if I'm alone. And so they can go and become part of the 52 Hike community and find the camaraderie and the accountability and the resources if they want them, and have that kind of support net just for taking steps outside. What a beautiful thing. Okay, so I do think we could keep talking about this forever.
Yeah.
I love the outdoors. I'm just such a believer in getting out there and seeing what there is, you know, because it's different for everyone. And I hope that you listening can see that Carla is just a normal person who went for a hike and it literally changed her life. And she started something from it because she was called to it. You know, like, we are capable of huge things in this life. We just have to show up and decide if you know, we ask ourselves, if not me, who? And if not now, when? Who's going to do this? When's it going to happen? You know, and maybe it's your turn to say, I think this is mine. You know, I think that this is my movement to start or whatever, or maybe it's my movement to join at this time. And I mean, you don't have to be down. You can be up. Like, it's for everybody. That's the magic of the outdoors. And
yes.
So, well, thank you for sharing your story. Where can everybody find you? Like, where does this all go down?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is just very simple, 52hikechallenge.com, Instagram at 52hikechallenge, you know, TikTok at 52hikechallenge, Facebook at 52hikechallenge. And then if they scroll to groups, that's where we have all our official groups listed. And then, yeah, if people want to follow me personally, I'm at @lovecarlaamador. And on Instagram, I do like sharing on there. You know, little tidbits of things. And yeah, but that's kind of it. 52hikechallenge.com. They'll be able to get a lot of information and resources on the website.
Okay. I will make sure all of those links are in the show notes as well. So hopefully we'll have some new people accepting the challenge and joining the community and getting outside. And yeah, we will see you guys out there because that's where I live. I love it. Well, thank you, Carla. Again, I appreciate that you've given your time and so much of your life to such a good cause. And I wish you all the best with the nonprofit side and everything else going forward. I'm so glad we got to connect on this, and I cannot wait to see where else it takes you.
Thank you so much, Jackie. I appreciate it, and like, look forward to chatting with you some more later on.